All right, we're working.
Now, as I said last week, I could probably count on one hand the disagreements that we've had and be able to tell you what they're about. In fact, I don't think I could probably tell maybe one or two over 21 years of marriage that we've had disagreements about, but I could tell you what they were about. Now, why is that?
I forgot about it.
Over little stuff.
Yeah, most arguments are over things that really don't matter. The things that really don't matter. So, the next thing was this. The real issue lies in the fact that most conflicts are not really conflicts at all. They're things that really don't matter. Now, the third thing is this. There are, however, at times in your marriage that you will have conflicts that do matter. Because when you married your wife and you married your husband, you married a what? A sinner. And you married a wicked sinner, you married a vile sinner, you married a wretched sinner. Okay? Now, so the third thing is this. And that is, well, let's skip over too fast. What happens in most marriages, number three of introduction from last week. What happens in most marriages is when a conflict does occur, we do not know how to resolve it biblically. Don't know how to resolve it biblically. Now, review again. First thing is this. Conflict number one is the sin of one spouse. The sin of one spouse. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Who wants to read that for me? Okay.
Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you.
Okay. So, here lies a question about that. What is the attitude of the spouse that confronts the sin? Okay. A sin occurs in your marriage. Usually, when the sin is approached, it is approached with a wrong attitude. What is the wrong attitude? What would we consider a wrong attitude when confronting sin? And how we approach?
One-sided.
Judging?
One-sided, right?
One-sided? Okay, what are you doing with your finger?
Pointing.
Okay.
Accusing?
And it usually leads to what?
Anger.
What did you say? Okay. Then the other person gets defensive, and then it just builds. Okay? So the sin of one spouse. And that is, what is the attitude? How do we respond when we are sinned against? How do we usually respond? We usually respond out of hurt. Usually respond out of anger. Usually respond out of wrath. Now, let's look at Ephesians 4 again. Let's look at verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Verse 31. But let all bitterness, wrath. Wrath is an uncontrolled anger. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then it goes on to say, so what is the opposite of those things? The opposite is kindness. The opposite is tenderheartedness. The opposite is forgiving. Now, why should we, according to this verse, be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving to one another? Because Christ forgave us. Because God, in His mercy, is kind, is tenderhearted, and is forgiving. So, once again, how do we respond when sinned against? Confronting and dealing with sin is a process. It is a process. Now let's work through these things. When sinned against, check your attitude. Check it. If you're angry, you may need to leave home for a while. Now, I'm not talking like days or months or years. Okay? I'm talking about, okay, I need to leave home. I need to get in the car. I need to take a drive. Thomas Jefferson said this about anger. He said, when angry, count to 10. When very angry, count to 100. You may need to start doing some counting. Okay? But do not confront, when you're sinned against, don't confront out of anger. Because you usually say something or do something that you will later regret. Yes.
You think anger is wrong?
As long as it is controlled anger. Christ got angry.
Many times.
Yes, many times. He did not get angry, though, at the sinner. When he confessed, we talked about this a little bit last week, remember? That when how did he confront the woman that was found in adultery? With what? His finger?
He
drew a line in the sand. But who was that against? The Pharisees. The accusers. The ones that were trying to catch Christ. They're trying to trick him. Because by the law, Christ could have said, okay, stone her. When Christ confronted the thieves in the temple, he was angry, but it was a controlled anger. When we talk about anger, or it's talked about here in the scriptures, be angry and sin not. Yeah. That being angry is a controlled anger. But most of our anger is not a controlled anger. It's a wrathful anger. It is a yelling, screaming, World War III kind of anger. Okay? I've been to some homes, you know, out visiting for the church or whatever, knocked on the door, and before I knocked on the door, I walked up, and it was World War III going on behind the doors. Knocked on the door, rang the doorbell, opened the door, and they got this look on their face. Oh, hi, Pastor. You know? So most anger that we have is a uncontrollable, wrathful kind of anger. So the next thing is this. Speak to the issue directly. Speak to it directly. Go ahead. Okay, check your attitude and say, okay, what's up with this? What happened? Okay, speak to the issue directly. Okay? Don't try to get around the subject. Now, you could do one of two things. You could either speak to the issue directly or just ignore that it never happened. But if you ignore that it never happened, what is it going to lead to? It's going to fester. It's going to lead to that individual sinning more because the issue has not been confronted. Okay? Most people are not confrontational people. They just don't like that. They don't want to approach it because they don't want the confrontation that's going to come with it. That's why a lot of parents with their teenage children don't confront an issue with their teenage children because they don't want to have to deal with the issue. Or not necessarily deal with the issue, they don't want to deal with the attitude. And it could be as well as in your marriage. You know your spouse is messing up, but you don't want to start a fight, you don't want to have a fight, you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to deal with the attitude.
They'll use that against you.
What's that?
I said, your kids or your spouse can use that against you too if they know that you are not willing to confront them because you're scared of the argument, then they'll bring that attitude across for the specific purpose of getting you to back down.
Right, yeah. So, not only do you need to check your attitude when confronting, but you also, that leads to the next thing, watch your attitude when you are confronted. Following me? Okay? Most of us are defensive. Whoa! You automatically throw up guards. Whoa! Okay? But when confronted, you need to check your, check the attitude as well. Speak to the issue directly. A boundary-loving spouse, this is where the confronted checks their attitude. The boundary-loving spouse will acknowledge the sin and apologize. Honey, I was wrong. I sinned. Forgive me. I sinned. I sinned with watching what I watched. I sinned by looking at what I looked at. I sinned by speaking to you the way I spoke. I sinned by not taking out the trash when you asked me to take out the trash. Okay? I sinned by doing these things. Please forgive me. When you acknowledge, the step to repentance towards God is acknowledging that you sinned. I sinned, God. God, I had a misfortune. No, God calls sin, sin. I sinned. For all have had a bad run of luck. Is that what Romans 3:23 says? No, for all have what?
Sinned.
Honey, I sinned against you. I sinned. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Now, that leads to the next thing. It'll work. It won't.
It did.
Oh, okay.
All right, there we go.
Accept the apology and forgive. When you forgive, reaffirm that you love him or her. Reaffirm it. If you don't reaffirm with love, by saying, I forgive you and I love you, if you don't say, I love you, yeah, I forgive you, okay, I forgive you, and walk off, what is that individual going to think? Yeah, I forgive you. Okay. Well, I wonder if they really did. Okay? Yes?
I was going to say, I think reassuring your spouse that you love them no matter what they've done helps you remember the right attitude that you're supposed to have towards your spouse, and it helps create a loving and compassionate spirit in you just by saying it and getting it out there.
Yes.
Because I know if you're forgiving someone, you have to be very careful and completely put it to the side and not hold on to it just a little bit, like, okay, well, I forgive you, but if it happens again, you know, we're going to have some issues, because that's not forgiveness.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and I use the one we call adultery. You know, I use that, you know, what did Christ say? I forgive you this time. I forgive you this time. No. Say, go. Say no more. Go. I'll do it again. Now, by law, it could have had a storm. What do you think he wrote in sand? Joey, what do you think? Have you heard the argument that he wrote their sins in the sand? Have you heard that one? Yeah, you. You were there. And I've often wondered, okay, they called the woman in adultery. Where's the guy?
Yeah.
By the Old Testament law, both of them should have been stoned. If I stand correct. Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
Okay, next thing is this. When emotions cool down, discuss the problem, discuss it, how did it happen, why did it happen, set a course of action. Plan how you are going to stop doing it. Let's take the issue, let's take finances for an issue. Okay? That is a huge problem in marriages, is finances. Okay? One individual has all the finances, but has messed it up entirely. Bills have not been paid. You find out. Big fight breaks out. You settle down. You forgive one another. You hug and kiss and all that stuff. And then, okay, well, what are we going to do about it? Okay, that's where you have to make a plan. Now, your plans are not going to work if you don't work your plan. You can write it down on paper all day long. But if you don't stick to that plan, what is that plan in finances? What is it called?
A budget.
Okay? If you have never gone through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, we offer it here every year, about twice a year. We offer it in January through March, and then in the summer. Rita and Roger could testify to it. of how it has transformed their finances and their marriage, and I'm sure someone else in here can as well, go through it. It is $100 well spent. Okay? All right, now, let's get to the next thing. Okay, agree on the follow-up plan. All right, next thing is this. Immaturity or brokenness of one person. The immaturity or brokenness of one person. Here's the key point. Most people get married totally unaware of their spouse's shortcomings. Wow, I didn't know that. Wow, before we got married, you liked to hold hands. You don't like to hold hands now? You like to snuggle before you got married. What's up now? Okay, you're always happy when we went on dates. What's up? Okay. So here are some of those shortcomings. All right. First thing is this. Most people get totally unaware of their spouse's shortcomings. Now, first thing is this. Number one, you need to accept reality. Now, what is that reality? Once again, it goes back to you married a what? A sinner. Okay? You married a sinner. Okay? Now, let's look at some of these issues that are going to develop in your marriage from time to time. There's relational abilities. Not being a relational person. Parental abilities or inabilities. Okay? As children come along. Okay? The hardest job in the world is being a parent. It is the most difficult job in the world. I'm not trying to scare you if you don't have kids. I'm not trying to scare you if not having kids. Okay, we've got two. Okay, and they are a joy. And worrying about them doesn't stop the older they get. Okay? And parenting your children never stops. In fact, Sean and I do more parenting with Bradley now that he is gone than we did when he was at home. Because it's a lot of times, it's, Dad, what do you think about this? Mom, what do you think about this? Okay? Emotional problems. Well, you weren't moody before we got married. What's up with that? Lack of self-discipline. You find out that your husband now likes to play video games all night long and sleeps all day. You go on your honeymoon and your husband still has his footy pajamas. Okay? And his Star Wars sheets.
Where's Germany?
Hey, this is being recorded. Do I need to play that? Okay, financial inabilities. Not being able to balance. I cannot balance a checkbook. I can't. I have tried it. I cannot do it.
I recommend Abraham.
Y'all went through it too, didn't you? Y'all go through it?
Yeah.
Okay. Financial, sexual difficulties. Maybe there's something you find out about your spouse that may have happened to them sexually before you got married. Okay? That is going to be tough to deal with. Okay? There was a young couple in my Sunday school class in California that there were some serious issues that he found out about his wife on their honeymoon. Not a good time to find out. On their honeymoon, they found out about some things. Okay? Not having completely left home. Okay? I'm going to be honest with you. The best thing that my wife and I did for our marriage was in 1992, we left Fayetteville and went to Raleigh to live. That was the best thing that we did. And then in 1999, we left and went to the other side of the world and went to California to work for 4 years. Okay? I don't recommend that. Okay? You need to get, when you get married, yes, still maintain that relationship with your parents. Still maintain all that. I tell you, my wife has got a relationship with her parents that I wish I had with mine. Okay? She has an unbelievable relationship with her mom and her dad that I envy. Okay, but when you get married, there's a reason why the scripture says that your husband and wife cleave together. That's called she leaves home. Okay? Now, let's continue on. Okay? Communicate your support to your spouse. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. I'm hoping to get through this. Let's see. I think we can. What do y'all think? All right, who wants to read it? 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Toward all men. What version do you have? You have ESV?
I don't
or
know.
Or
NIV.
Yeah. NIV? Okay. What does the ESV say, huh?
Be his turn there.
Hey, how many of you watched the debate the other night, the GOP debate? How many of you called that question that was asked to Michelle Bachmann? Will you be submissive towards your husband? I thought she handled it very well. In fact, she won the straw poll yesterday. The straw poll in Iowa yesterday. Michelle Bachmann,
what'd she answer?
What'd
you say?
She said that both of them respect each other. Like, yeah, I will respect my husband. My husband respects me. We have a great marriage. We raise a great family. And like, she just really talked about their marriage and how it functions. Not like, oh, I'm going to listen to my husband on matters of the state. You know, like, they were kind of.
Because everyone knows that she is a born-again believer. She's very open about that. And so they were trying to... It was a setup.
The Pharisees and Jesus. Yeah,
what's that?
The Pharisees and Jesus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Is that lady from Minnesota?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And also the question on abortion. When they were asking, I forgot what the guy's name was, what he thought about making abortion illegal...
Oh, yes, yeah.
And then he said, he came back and said, well, okay, so it's okay. We're not
going to
put
wrong.
A rapist on death row, but we're
going to
murder the innocent
yes.
child.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, that was
St. Torah.
Yeah,
I bet that lady. When I lived with these people in Minnesota for a while, and he was a Hennepin County district attorney, and her and Paul Wellstone would come over to the house a lot.
So communicate your support to your spouse, especially husbands. Let your wife know that you support her. Keep in mind that the scriptures teach that they are the weaker vessel. Keep that in mind. Okay? They are the weaker vessel. They are the weaker of the two. Okay, number three. Face issues as real problems. Face issues as real problems. When your wife comes to you, man, and they've got a problem, they've got an issue. You ever heard the expression that perception is reality? To them, to you, it may be a non-issue. But to them, it is. And to them, it is an important issue that needs to be dealt with. Now, a lot of times they'll come to you with an issue. And you'll say, okay, well, this is what you need to do. Well, they didn't want to hear that. What did they really want?
For you to listen.
To be held.
For, yeah. To be held. You've been married less than a year. Okay. They want to be listened to. They want to be held. They want to be comforted. Okay? They just want someone that will listen. Okay?
The guys just want to fix the problem.
I know, they just want to fix the problem. It's exactly right.
Ma'am, I don't understand. If somebody comes up with a problem, that they're having a problem, you can give them a solution.
We would not, in our wildest dreams, understand someone coming up with a